Yes, you've arrived at the Legend Podcast at DaxMyhan.com. How did I become a legendary sports figure? How does anyone become legendary? It starts with a coach. Join us as we have conversations with coaches of all ages, experience, and expertise, and find out what does it take to lead athletes to legendary status.
Really, you do have a lot of useless knowledge up there in the head of yours.
All right, we're here with Coach Ed Jones. Coach, one thing you were talking about a little earlier that I wanted to go back on is you talked about developing the younger players as kind of a feeder system for your Benton High School program. Talk about the importance of that as far as setting those feeder programs up and how they help you at the high school level.
Well, they're definitely important programs at the young age like that to teach the right things out there. And I think the right things are what we've talked about, learning skills, learning technique, learning team ball, those type things. When they, when they get to the high school, there are so many things that coaches at the high school have to do that you don't do at the middle school. So we get an opportunity to go out there and do a lot of practicing, a lot of working on the skills and so forth. And you don't have to win all of your games or 90% of your games at the middle school to keep your job and so forth if you'll teach fundamentals. And that's what we started over in Benton, and it was a learning experience for me. And one of the things in Marshall County is the fact that through the years – we've had good middle school programs. We've had good gyms to play in. And of course, it's been big fan support. But we've had coaches that knew something about coaching the game of basketball. When we were down there at North, and sometimes we'd play some of these other schools in the area, and I like to play them because they were the type of coach, the first day of practice, they'd put 5-on-5 out there and start showing plays. I don't know how many plays you got. There's no new stuff. You can pick up everybody's play. It's ever been, and there's no secrets. But execution is the key to it. And we felt like that we've got to work on the skills to be able to execute. Then you can run some plays. But the young programs are very significant to the game of basketball.
You know, it's interesting you were talking about execution. Last year, I was at North watching my son play, and they were playing against University Heights. University Heights had us really overmatched ability-wise. They were really good. And they ran Hatcher's old, we call it number one offense, like motion offense. And as I watched them run it, they were running it terrible. I mean, not setting picks. It was ran awfully, but they were killing us just due to their superiority as athletes. So after the game, I grabbed the coach and I said, "Hey, I noticed your offense there." I said, "Where'd you learn that?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "I had a coach at University Heights named Jeff Jackson that taught me that." And I started laughing. I said, "Well, you and I then learned it from the same folks." I said, "Because I read it." I said, "And I'm not trying to be ugly to you, but I said, your guys run it terribly." I said, "They don't set any picks." I said, "If y'all ran it right, you'd have beat us 60 points instead of 25, you know." But you're right. Execution is the key.
I've watched some of the Little League programs out there having some grandkids and so forth in it, and it's pretty typical, and I understand that. You know, they'll go out there and have an hour's practice, and they'll spend 45-50 minutes in that hour teaching a play or two or three plays out there, try to get the kids where they need to go and so forth, and then they give them the basketball, and they can't dribble, and they can't pass, and they can't shoot. So they've wasted the kids' time during that period of time. Yeah. And that's how I feel about and that's one of the things I think that helped me. That's the part I really like to do and why I enjoyed my time at North Marshall. I got the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, looking back, we didn't spend a lot of time what I would call scrimmaging or learning plays. I remember, you know, the different drills that we did, the Superman drill we used to run. I remember that, you know, for low block players and dribbling. And another thing you talked about a little earlier was leadership, and you talked about that your coach at UT Martin kind of helped you with that. Talk about some of the ways maybe that you tried to instill leadership in your players. And as a side question, do you think leaders are born or are they made?
Well, there are probably some qualities that they may be born with, but it's a learned experience. So basically, leadership is a learned experience. And I think a lot of that is taking the time to talk about, show them, give them opportunity to practice in leadership. That was one of the things I felt was my priorities. You might not have remembered that at the time, but I set up priorities with the basketball players at North Marshall, and I said, you know, here's my priorities. Number one is a gentleman. Number two is a good student, and basketball comes third. We didn't always get that out of everyone, but that was something that we shot for. And I think this helped them. Also, letting them have the opportunity to make decisions out there on the court. I think probably, like I said, one of the things that I was pretty calm on the bench, I was told by a lot of people over there, probably one of the compliments that I got that I really cherish a lot was when Kenneth Shad Owen came here as a superintendent. And Jared was playing over in Livingston County, and Kenneth came and says, hey, I know you got some good people down here. Jared's been playing. I don't think he can make your team, but I'd like for him to be involved. Could he be your manager? I said, well, of course he can, you know. I guess that kind of makes it a little easier on coaches, too, when you got the superintendent's son coming in like that. But he told me at another time, he said, you know, so Jared came home and told me something that meant something, and he said, I don't know why those boys said they play so hard for Coach Jones and said he don't rant and rave and stomp and cuss in the dressing room. And he said he thought that's what coaches are supposed to do. And that was a real compliment that I really cherished that Kenneth Shad Owen gave me and enjoyed Jared. He was a manager all the way through high school.
Goes back to there are different styles of coaching. Each person has their own style. I've had a little of all that. You know, you were calm, even-keeled when I played for you. You know, then I moved on to Coach Hatcher, who was the opposite of that. And then, you know, we talked about Coach Johnny Reagan at Murray. He was a very even-keeled coach, not a holler or a screamer. And something that you and he had in common is, you know, I talked about our meetings and so forth. Whenever you had a meeting with Coach Reagan, and even as a team, we would go to a classroom and we would discuss things before we went to the practice field. And kind of, it was kind of strange having come from Coach Hatcher, but we didn't, you know, we would actually sit in chairs and he taught us. We were students. We were there. He was there to teach us something that we needed to know. And a lot of times it had nothing to do with baseball. It was being a gentleman. And, you know, I'll never forget one of the things he said to us about cursing. He said, you know, my mother once told me that when you curse, that shows you have a lack of adjectives and you have a poor vocabulary. And I remember him telling us in that meeting. So that's kind of a similarity y'all had.
Well, that's something I wanted to instill because basketball was a good thing to prepare people for life. Probably one of the reasons I got back into it. It was good for me. It gave me a college education. Went back into coaching. I felt, well, this is a little repayment for what because I'd have never gone to college had it not been for basketball. The coaching and trying to instill leadership prepares you better for life. I don't know of anything that really prepared me much better for. I spent 26 years in the leadership of the Benton Church of Christ out there. Again, we were dealing with a lot of volunteers and so forth, and a lot of things come up. But I think my coaching experiences gave me a lot of help in doing that. During that period of time, providing leadership we've had a very successful mission program that we started out there in Africa. We started a school. We put down over 300 Churches of Christ through that school over there, and that's been something that I've been involved in for 20 years that I was out there at the Benton Church of Christ as a leadership. So that's what I think basketball has a great opportunity, or any of the sports. It's a disciplined sport. It provides opportunities to prepare you for a good, successful life.
Working with others,
sure.
Knowing how to be part of a team, and you know, talking about your mission opportunities, that's a team effort.
Very, very much so. you know, basketball has been a big part of my life. I still like to go and watch the games and so forth and watch it on television.
Well, what would you, you know, you've got a pretty long history from where you started playing ball as a kid to nowadays. Kind of compare and contrast the game, maybe the differences from back when you played to nowadays, or anything that jumps out at you?
Well, yeah, there's some things that's different. Players are somewhat taller than they were. We had a few tall people, but back when I was playing high school ball, but we didn't see them like we did now. Stronger. They got weight rooms and things of that nature, and they got people that know how to use them. There's a lot of toughness that local boys in Marshall County used to have that maybe they don't always have that unless they're in some kind of a trained program. Just the lifestyle in itself. We didn't think anything about playing a you know, I played one 50-minute game. I played a college game, never came out from two overtimes. We don't see that quite as much anymore with kids, but it's a little faster game, you know, the jump shot, the pressing, the fast break. All of that is different from what I saw and when I first started playing.
You know, one thing I noticed in my mind that's a little different, the defense seems to be stickier at the high school level than it used to be. Because, you know, I don't recall being guarded as closely maybe as some of the teams I see nowadays. The way
Well, you couldn't use your hands back in those days
that's
the way
true.
They do right now.
Yeah,
you
that's, know? True.
You almost have to. I watch a game now, and there'd been numerous turnovers from just carrying the ball back when I was playing and what they're doing now. They're, you seldom see that call, but they can't put all those moves on without they kind of turn that ball over a little
bit. You know,
bit.
To that point, my son is a big fan of the NBA. I'm not so much, but he pulled me over one night and said, "Hey, Dad, watch this move." And a guy made a move, and he said, "You know what they call that?" And I said, "Well, when I played, it was called a walk." And he said, "No, that's a Euro step." I said, "Oh, okay." So I said, "A Euro step was a walk back
right,
in the day."
Right, but right. So it's changed a great deal in that respect.
Coach, you talked about, you know, your experiences and so forth. What advice would you have to someone who's interested in getting in coaching now? What would be the things that, from your experience and the things you learned, that you would want to tell them?
I think it's good discipline of the kids with fairness out there. I think the kids will take that discipline, but stick with those fundamentals. Spend some time with fundamentals. Spend some time with technique, and help that player get just a little bit better. Real important. That's what I said. If I was a high school coach, and that would be one of my staff members, and that would be his first responsibility, is going out and doing that.
What about the role? You know, this comes up a lot, the role of parents, as far as you as a coach. What role do you think parents should play or shouldn't play, maybe, that they do? Did you have a lot of issues with that as a coach?
Every coach has issues with that because you're dealing with volunteer people. You know, I had this problem, I guess, as a father, particularly with son Jeff. He played at the middle school, and there were some times I think things should have gone a little bit differently. But being a coach myself, I didn't want to really intervene. And I've had parents to intervene with problems that I know it was their son, but they didn't know what was going on in the gym every day, you know. Problems that arise between kids. I can recall a time or two that I would start one person ahead of a person that might have been a little better individually, but the team didn't play as well with that person. It's a matter of you got to get to know your kids. You got to get to know what they do. You got to get to know how to respond to them. You know, some of them you push, and some of them you lead. Mm-hmm. I was always better with the ones I could lead. I hated to have a real good talent that I hated to push. That wasn't my thing. I didn't do a good job at that. But I had someone that wanted to learn and would work at it real hard, I probably could get him a little farther along than I could push.
Well, you know, you mentioned Jeff, and we'll take a second to talk about him. So, you know, we hear about these college coaches that have their coaching tree. Talk about Jeff as a coach. I know that's got to bring you a lot of pride with the amount of time and that he's coached in the middle school ranks here at Marshall County. But talk about that a little bit.
Jeff was living at home and going to, after he got out of the military, he started to school at Murray. I had been coaching at North Marshall for 3 or 4 years, did not have an assistant coach down there. I said, hey, how about just coming down and coaching with me? And he said, yeah, he wouldn't like that. So we kind of arranged his classes, and he was down there. And so I let him have the seventh grade team and work with them. And of course, we worked closely together down there. I didn't let the parents to him the first year. eventually, I did that. But he spent 4 years down there coaching with me. He was not an employee. Donna Perry was the principal. She said, well, I'll help him out a little bit, you know, and did. And that was probably a pretty good experience for him. And then when he got out of school, everybody thought he'd was on a staff, and he immediately went to South Marshall and started coaching up there. He was coaching with Don Walker up there to start with, but then Don came to coach soccer, and he became the head coach. So we spent a few years. He was a head coach at South, and I was a head coach at North. And we enjoyed those times playing against each other. He had some good kids up there. We had some good kids. And after the game, why, he'd always come by the house. He wasn't living at home then. He wasn't married, but he wasn't living at home. And he'd come by, and we'd talk. And it was fun for us. Not too much fun for Mom, but but we enjoyed that experience. And then he's had a pretty successful career. I believe he told me the other night that he, 20 years or whatever he's been coaching, I think he said that he's been in the this district tournament we have. He's been in the finals that 14 years as a coach, assistant coach, whatever. He's still down at North working, and they've got a real good ball team this year.
Yeah, and I know my son got to play for him, and it was kind of neat watching me, you know, watching him, you know, deal with my son, and having known that I played for you, of course, that was a pretty neat experience as well. So, and then of course Jason, your other son, we Shane and I graduated with. He didn't play much ball that I recall.
No, he didn't like ball.
Yeah, but he's done pretty good. Huh?
Well, yeah, he has. He's done pretty good, I think, over there. You're just talking about that experience. Mm-hmm. I coached Jeff Stokes, and Jeff's coaching his son down there now. That's been pretty good. I've been, you know, basketball and fans and people in Marshall County has been a great experience for me. It really has. I really enjoyed those years. I've had a couple of successful things that's gone on in high school and in college basketball.
Talk about the Hall of Fames that you're in.
I think in 85, I graduated in 60 in UT Martin. In 85, I went in the Hall of Fame. And like I said, I had very good experience down there on a lot of records. That meant a whole lot to me. And then came back, and last year I was inducted into the Marshall County Hall of Fame. And that's also something that I cherished a whole lot, and particularly that I got to coach a lot of these people now in Marshall County, and I've gone on and seen them do well. Mm-hmm. And feel like maybe I've had a little bit to do with that, and there's a lot of pride in that.
You also, I know you kept score for the high school for quite a few years.
I played till I got too old to play, and then I coached till I got too old to coach, and I just kept the book and and enjoyed that. Just being around basketball and talking with the officials that had come by and that type of old coaches, it was a good experience, and I really enjoyed that. Been associated with all the Hoop Fest that had out here, and but they, you know, we've moved on from that, and I'm just pinch it occasionally in case they need me out there. But
I mean, what a great life you've made out of sports, right? You know, you started out, probably never dreamed as a player you'd ever do the things you did.
No, and the same opportunities there for kids this day and time. Go out there, work hard, listen to your coaches, get along with your peers, and enjoy yourself. It will bring a lot of dividends to you in life. It really will.
And I'll even comment what I think is a neat thing. I know a lot of retired guys have their McDonald's that they go to or their Hardee's. And I got to actually come spend some time with you and your guys, you know, you and Barney Thweet and Mr. Shadowin, Mr. Anderson was there and got to meet a lot of those guys. And that's got to be fun to you know, spend time with those guys that you've known through the years.
It is.
Right?
It's, you know, when I got retired, I said, well, I'm not going to be one of those guys that just go to the coffee shops every day. Well, I didn't for a long time, but the older I get, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Coach, thanks for joining us, and appreciate you being on the podcast. And you know, obviously, you're a man we had to get in here because you did coach the legend. So I owe some part of my legendary status to you, obviously.
Well, thank you very much, and I enjoyed those years that we had, and that year you came down there. I felt like you learned a lot that year down there. I really do. Yeah, I remember that.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, like I say, you were mentioned. For those of you listening, you can go to State Championship Dreams and you can hear the whole story there. But you're mentioned pretty prominently.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, when you first came there, I knew you could shoot, but I didn't know that you'd ever make Kentucky State Tournament basketball team. But you did that because you kept working at it and learning. Yeah. That's what the young kids need to know.
Well, you know, and I'll say this, one thing that I can definitely attribute to you that probably propelled me is if I had walked in and you'd have said, okay, hey, you're the hot shot kid, here's your position, take off, and hadn't pushed me the way you did. And, you know, you were one of the first people to challenge me that to maybe think you're not maybe as good as you can be, or maybe you're not as good as you think you are. You know, that's something a player needs to hear, needs to know, because, right, you know, like my dad used to say, you know, if you're sitting in the house watching TV, there's somebody else outside shooting or trying to get better. And so I think the fact that, you know, you didn't hand me a position, I think went a long way toward, you know, coming through adversity and figuring out that, hey, I've got a lot more I've got to do to become a good ball player.
Yeah, I think you were ready to, you didn't know it, but you were ready for that. And that really helped you along in your career.
You've been listening to Dax's interview with Ed Jones, DaxMonahan.com.
If you enjoyed the podcast, which, why wouldn't you? You're listening to the legend. Tell somebody about it. Well, what I need you to do is you share it on your Facebook and then get your friends to share it.
You've been listening to Dax Myhand, the legend.